success. Technology is a wonderful thing. A few weeks ago, I gave a sermonette about people who are prepping for the end of this world. They are prepping for the end of civilization as they know it, from many different scenarios. Anything from a financial crash to a nuclear accident. But there are a few people in this world who can see what is happening in the events around this world. But without God's Spirit, they are unable to understand or see the future that lies in wait. But we are gathered here today, wherever we are assembled in God's name, as God's people around the world, as He commanded us, and we are blessed to be able to meet in a place of safety and peace in this world which is tearing itself apart. Turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy 16. I think every child in the room over a certain age will automatically have their finger in Deuteronomy 16 when there's an offering announcement. I know I always did. Try and get there before the person giving the message actually mentioned it. Deuteronomy 16. And in verse 13, you shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress. And you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, and the Levite and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you shall surely rejoice. We are commanded to rejoice here today. This world is not rejoicing. This world is in meltdown. It's in panic mode. We've all left an environment within this world when we came here where everyone is affected by what is going on in the world around them. No one we left behind is truly rejoicing. They are struggling just to live, just to cope. Fear has gripped this world, no matter who they are or where they are. So over the next few minutes, I just want to look at a couple of reasons why we can rejoice at the feast, and look at one huge blessing that we have been given by our Father in heaven, enabling us to be able to truly rejoice. So I doubt there's anybody in this room today who does not personally know someone who is suffering from cancer. Fear and uncertainty for them of what the future will bring. Is the medical treatment going to cure me or kill me? What are the alternative treatments? What if I die? What will happen to my family? And that's just one of the terrible sicknesses our nation has been struck down with because they have forsaken their God. 4:30 this morning, I had a text from somebody I work with to say that one of my colleagues at the hospital where I work died unexpectedly and suddenly on Saturday just gone. But we are here to rejoice because we know that in a few short years, sickness, pain and suffering will be a thing of the past. As it says in Isaiah, we don't need to turn there, 35, the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. That is just one reason why we can rejoice at the feast, because of what it pictures. In the environment that we have left behind when we came to the feast, families are coming under pressure from every angle. They are becoming a thing of the past, a true, proper family. Divorce, if they even bother to get married in the first place, is increasing. Husband and wife grow apart. They get bored. They want to change. Parents not knowing how to be parents. Children being taken from families and put into a system that doesn't care. When life creates too much stress, the coping mechanism seems more and more to be alcohol, drugs, or suicide. The family is being attacked and smashed from Satan from every single angle. In my department at the hospital where I work, there are 3 of us, all men. Just a few weeks ago, one of them married his boyfriend. At the hospital where I work, I'm currently working with the disability manager to design some very specialist disabled toilets. She is also the equality manager. In a few weeks, she came up to me, pointing to my tie that I'm wearing today. Very nice, bright, coloured tie. She looked at me straight in the eye, very sincerely. "I do love your tie, Andy. It's so pride." I don't wear this tie at the hospital anymore. The attitude of Sodom and Gomorrah is growing and encroaching everywhere, taking what God created and perverting it in every aspect. But we're here to rejoice because we know that in a few short years, families will be the basis for every community. Life will no longer have negative stresses ripping them apart. Husbands will be taught how to be masculine and how to love their wives. Ladies will be taught how to be a proper lady as described in Proverbs 31 and how to be a wife and a mother. Children will be counted as blessings, and the children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of their children, as it says in Isaiah 54. The family will be the way God intended it. God will be our Father and we will be his children. And the whole of mankind will also be given that opportunity to be his children, part of the God family. That is a reason why we can rejoice here at the feast. Back in the UK, the country is split right down the middle. Communities divided. Brexit. In the US, we're starting the run-up to the 2020 presidential elections, where Republicans and Democrats will be at each other's throats. Both of these events, and similar ones all around the world in every nation, are full of lies, slander, and hatred. There is a distinct lack of common sense, of logic, in any of these events going on. But we are here to rejoice because we know in a few short years we will be in the millennium, and Christ will have deposed the God of this world and taken control of this world and its failed governments, and Christ will be ruling for eternity. There will be a government in place which is actually ruling for the good of the people. A government which has laws in place which promote happiness for all. As it says in Isaiah 32, again, we know this one so well, a king will reign in righteousness and his princes will rule in justice. We can rejoice because we will be one of those princes ruling under Christ with justice if we overcome and hang on till the end. We are here at the feast getting to know even better our fellow brothers and sisters and being taught how to rule with justice. And just carrying on back in Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. Three times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place that he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings the Lord your God, which he has given you. As I mentioned at the beginning, we're going to look at one blessing that we have been freely given by our Creator, which enables us to truly rejoice at the feast. Turn, please, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy and chapter 1. And starting in verse 7. Something that this world desperately yearns for but cannot attain. Talking to us, for God has not given us, in verse 7, a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Last week was International Mental Health Awareness Day. How many people around this world would give everything they possess not to have a spirit of fear? How much would they give to have a sound mind, to have what we have been freely given? Turn, please, to Micah 6, because this world puts materialism above all things. It seeks to buy a solution. Micah chapter 6 and starting in verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and a calf of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before our God. We cannot buy what God is freely giving us. The very Spirit of God, the very mind of God, it is beyond price. The very sacrifice of our Saviour is more valuable than the entire contents of the whole universe which he created. What do we have to do? We have to walk humbly before our God, keeping his commandments, living the way that we were taught through Mr. Armstrong, not the way of get like this world is, but the way of give. This world, this age, under its God, has a spirit of fear. Mankind has the mind of its God leading and guiding them. Everywhere you turn and look, mankind is fearful. We sit and watch this world, its leaders, its people, from the highest to the lowest. And there is a distinct lack of reasoning, a lack of common sense, and a lack of a sound mind. We've been taught by Christ through the end time apostle, Mr. Armstrong, about our incredible future, a future which these next 8 days picture. We are going to hear message after message specifically focused on the millennium, the last great day, and our incredible future. Each speaker will be painting a picture for us of the world that God desires for us to live in, one that he wanted Adam and Eve to live in, and one which is only a few short years away. These messages will be galvanizing that reality into our minds, keeping us focused, not on the evils of the passing age that we are in, but the reality that will soon be here. That is why we are able to rejoice at the feast. This plan God has revealed to a minuscule percentage of people, his chosen people, and we have been given that blessing of a sound mind, the spirit of mind of our very Creator. We have the vision of what is soon going to encompass this world, and that is why we are rejoicing at this feast. Politics, sickness, homelessness, work problems, financial pressures, hatred, intolerance, racism, pollution, war, famine, pestilence, stress, perversions of every kind. The list goes on and on. They will all be a thing of the past. The evils of this world, along with its pain and suffering, are passing. And along with its God, will be replaced with a world where everyone, man, woman, and child, will not only be keeping these days with us and giving an offering on this day, they will be keeping all of God's laws. The whole world will be rejoicing because they too will be blessed with a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And we will be teaching them the very plan of God. God has given us now the blessing of a sound mind, his mindset and his outlook, which is something we cannot buy. It enables us to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We can't outgive our Father in heaven. None of us can afford one river of oil, let alone 10,000 rivers of oil. So let us now give an offering to our God with the right heart, rejoicing before our God with a knowledge that we have been freely given, with a humble attitude and with that of a sound mind. While the offering is being taken up, we will be privileged to have a violin trio for the offering music, which will be performed for us by Mr. Jacob Tower, Mr. Jonathan, and Mrs. Rochella Gardner, and the piece will be entitled Si Beg, Si Mor.